It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Alright, I think I hit the button. Alright, good. So, what's the deal with airlines?
What's the deal with them?
No, that's the old stand-up bit. But I'm annoyed at the airlines.
You are?
Yes. So, not for any of the reasons anyone is expecting. Maybe I'm quite possibly the only person in the world who's annoyed by this.
Okay.
For those of you, William, who haven't traveled on airplanes a lot.
Not a lot.
I think you're still probably familiar with, they have a whole safety spiel at the beginning.
That's correct.
And here's how you put on your seatbelt, and here's how you take off your seatbelt. And the exits are located here and here and here. And make sure you find your closest exit, remembering it might be behind you. All that business. And we also get, in the unlikely event of a water landing,
right,
some shit's going to go down. And it varies.
That'd be funny if they said that.
The level, the specific type of shit going down varies based on the plane.
Sure.
And there are basically two versions. One, your seat cushion acts as a flotation device.
Yes, that's right.
And they will usually show you that.
Yeah.
And it's just, you can pick up your seat cushion, and it's got straps on the bottom like it was an ill-fitting backpack, and you just put your arms through them, and then you will float. That is the theory.
That's the theory, yeah.
The other version is, we gave you life jackets that are hiding under your seat.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I don't know if I've ever heard that one.
What's really fucked up is, it is not uncommon that in coach, your seat cushion acts as a flotation device, and in first class, you get the life jackets because of the way the chairs are built, but still it seems really weird. But anyway, sometimes the whole plane is like that. They're like, under your seat in a little packet is a life jacket.
Huh. I don't think I've ever...
Okay. Well, then see, then you will not relate to this at all. But other people understand.
Okay.
This is the thing. And here's what they tell you. Like, you got your life jacket, unfold it from the thing.
Okay.
It's not inflated or anything. It's an inflatable one, but it's not inflated yet.
Oh, wait, I have. Yeah. Now I remember, yeah.
And you put it on over your head. And then there's a belt thing you hook it to.
But don't you have to blow it up or something?
No, well, that's the thing. You pull this cord and it inflates.
Okay, sure.
But if for some reason that doesn't work, there's a little mouthpiece
on it.
You can blow into
it. That's right, I remember this now, yeah.
And then there's a light that is activated by water when you fall into water, so don't worry
remember
about the
all
light.
That.
Also, here is the thing. So, they're going through the motions.
Yeah.
And they're like, pull on this to inflate the vest. And they just tug lightly. They don't actually do it.
Yeah, right.
I get that.
Sure.
Like, you're not just going to explode a life vest every flight. Right. Like, that's weird for so many reasons. I absolutely understand that.
Okay.
So, we are now living in the 21st century.
Yeah, we are.
And a lot of planes, especially if you're on the bigger planes, especially the planes that have the little screens in the back of the chair.
Uh-huh.
Which are awesome nowadays. They had them originally, and like you put in your credit card and you can buy movies and shit. Nowadays, there's just a bunch of free shit on there because they have found out that quiet people who can just watch 4 episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine for the entire flight are way happier and more compliant. And
sure.
That's me. I just plug it in. I'm like, oh, you got some Simpsons I haven't seen in a while? All right. You know, that kind of shit.
Hmm.
So I love that. But consequently, they just do the spiel on the thing.
Oh, okay.
And they can make it cooler. They're usually big on diversity, so it's a whole bunch of different people that show up, and they can actually show you, like, here's what you do with the overhead bins and stuff like that. And they have the life jacket thing,
mm-hmm.
and they show you putting on. They still don't blow it up.
What?
This is what I'm saying.
What?
And this has bothered me for a long time, because I'm like, this is your chance.
Yeah, yeah. Well, also to show people how hard you would actually
have to see what it looks like, make sure you're not lying to us, you know, all this thing. And also, it's a movie. Like, come on, there is no reason not to.
No.
That's a cool thing to do.
Yeah,
I finally get to see what it looks like, you know, that would be awesome. This has bothered me for years, because this has been going on for a while.
Oh, I
this
see.
This isn't even why I'm talking about it.
Oh, okay.
It gets worse.
Worse?
Yes. Hmm. On my last flight back from Disney, the very last one, all the way out there, it was either, I mean, one was a small plane, and so they did it by hand, and then the other ones were just the videos, which is annoying, because not only is it a safety video, but, like, right before, then there's a little video about how cool the airline is, that, like, you think is the safety video, but it's just a little short thing about how we're so awesome, and then, and I'm like, shut up, I bought the ticket already, go away, but anyway, so, on this last one, it's kind of neat. They do this thing where they, like, the person in the movie is like, you should, let's take you inside the world of the safety card. Mm. And, like, you, the camera jumps inside, and it's all this animated shit. And it's, like, hilarious because it's things where, like, they demonstrate the slides that come out if there's something. Mm. And somebody slides down it, and they end up falling into the window of a lower part of the card and then interact something else. And it's all very cute, and it's all cartoon. Guess what? They don't fucking do.
Like, they didn't even animate?
They couldn't be asked to draw the... He just does the fake tug.
No.
And he's not even a flight attendant. It's a person. Like, it's supposed to be a person doing it.
Okay, this is getting weird.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure they inflate.
That is weird. Honestly, that is getting weird.
Because I'm like, I mean, you could have just drawn it.
I mean, with the video thing, you can almost think, for some reason, it just didn't occur to them to do this. That's already weird.
Or it's super low budget. They're on a tight schedule.
But it's animated?
I have.
And they wouldn't do it?
No, that is bizarre.
No.
I see. I was even trying to come up with excuses.
That can't be right.
With the movie one, I was like, maybe it's a little dangerous? Because clearly some chemical reaction happens.
Oh,
it's very quickly. So I'm like, maybe it's not. It's something you want to do so you don't drown, but it's not something you just want to do for shits and giggles.
Right, right.
But drawing,
yeah,
is safe to do.
Yeah. That's really.
Yeah. So fuck think, all of them at this point.
What about? What if they don't want to encourage people to do it?
That's the only thought I have, is they're like youths. They're afraid of youths who are like, that's really cool. But they don't understand youths. Because I was a youth. Hell, I'm a grown-up now, but I'm like, I kind of want to do it now. If you won't show me what it looks like, I kind of want to check it out.
Right, but it's not about they don't want to show it to people so because they might encourage them to do it. They don't want to show it to people because then if someone does it, they could claim that they were encouraged to do it by being shown, and then they'd be liable. So it's like a legal thing.
That sounds so stupid. It's probably the truth. Like, that sounds incredibly dumb. That's probably what it is. That's awful.
I mean, I'm just...
They couldn't even...
Pulling that out of the air.
I was excited. I was like, this is... Anna, and they got to... It's like, life vests are... And I was like, oh, my God! Oh! They didn't fucking do it. I was like, just draw it bigger.
But you know what? But the way they get around that in TV commercials is they just have in small print at the bottom of the screen, do not attempt or whatever. But maybe they didn't think they could do that because they want people to do it.
Please don't do this unless it's an actual emergency.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Something like that. I guess. I don't have an explanation. That is weird. That's a weird thing that you're talking about.
I know. This is making me angry. Since Disney, this is all I've been able to
think
about.
Do you think you're really the only person who's noticed this and it's kind of bothered?
I think I'm... No, probably not. but I'm the only person willing to say it on the internet.
I'll bet the Denver airport is involved somehow.
And I can't... I mean, this specifically was Delta, who refuses to sponsor us, so therefore I'm going to out them about this. Delta's absolutely not the only airline I've seen not do it in the movie. Oh. Delta's the first airline that I've seen do an animated one, so I can't speak to that. But and the animated one overall was cool, because there was lots of shit where, like, all the stuff about not tampering with the smoke detectors or whatever, they had idiot cartoon people doing it and, like, getting in trouble for it and stuff like that. And it was all kind of, like, fun and silly.
Is it a joke, do you think? Like, is it a joke now to don't show it inflating?
It's like how Harry Dresden doesn't have a hat, but in every book cover he
has a
hat.
It's like a joke. Or maybe
if it is, I just feel so manipulated.
Maybe it's an industry thing, like, you don't you don't say the name of Hamlet when you're
it's bad luck to actually show the
actually show the thing inflating.
I hope it's that, even though that one is like the most evil. I hope that's what
I wonder
it
if
is.
We could fill a whole show with making up reasons that they won't show it.
I believe
superstition.
It.
I like the superstition one. I do.
Mole people. Hey, if we're filling an hour, we're gonna hit mole people eventually. We might as well get it out of the way immediately.
I like the superstition one. That's my favorite one so far.
You mean between superstition and mole people, you go with superstition? Yep. All right. Well,
I mean,
that seems fair.
Like, I don't like the legal one very much.
I don't either, which is why I believe it.
I do like the idea that it's kind of an inside joke in the industry. Oh, don't show it. We never show that.
I feel like airlines can't afford to have jokes at this point.
Well, they had a funny animation, you just said.
That is true. That is true, though. It was pretty cute.
Yeah. But you'd think they'd make fun of it in the animation. Like,
yeah.
Just as the person was about to pull the nope, can't show you that. Huh.
So yes, they're all evil. Anyway, hello everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that cares about you. The only one. The others may say they do. They are liars.
They are liars.
Baby, we're the only ones that really know your inner self and want to help you grow and actualize spiritually and stuff.
And we would show you the life vest inflating. We would show it.
I would never stop doing it if I was in charge of airlines. I just walk around all day with an uninflated one, like every meeting, instead of handshake, I'd just walk up and say, hi. Wanna blow in my tube?
I wish you hadn't told me that about this, because now I'm gonna be thinking about it.
Welcome to my personal
Doggone it! I'm thinking about this now, like this is so weird.
I have done no internet research. There might be like
a legitimate reason.
No, there might be support groups out there or conspiracy theory forum boards or something on this. I have not researched this. I have just seethed. I want to say by myself, but that's not true. I usually talk to whoever I'm on the plane with. So like Trish has gotten an earful on this shit.
Oh, man.
I'm Tony, by the way.
And I'm William, and this is episode 413.
Does that mean we got it right last time? All right. So last time was me and Trish.
Which was awesome, by the way. If you haven't listened.
Good save, because I was going to say, based on the fact that no one commented and you didn't so much as say boo about it, I just assumed everybody thought it was fairly unpopular.
I was going to say something now. Mm. I was saving it up because it was great. Mm. But you know what else I found interesting was when I was wondering if I was even going to make it tonight.
Yeah.
The wind's blowing.
We almost had a classic episode tonight.
But I thought, well, maybe what were the episodes like around this time of year before? And just last year, you and Trish did an episode for the same reasons.
Because she had forgotten. She was like, you and I have never done one. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have.
Maybe two other times.
Yeah. I mean, she's joined us before, too. And then you and her did one episode.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
But yeah, I was like, no, we definitely have. And it always feels weird doing it with her. And I don't know how it comes across because it's a different dynamic.
Yeah. But
and I'm like, the rhythm that you and I have doesn't exist there. And the funny thing is, it's a rhythm she and I have all the time when we're by ourselves. But like, it feels weird. I'm like, is it coming across right on the podcast? Like, how does this? Does this just sound like a weird couple bickering?
No. It was awesome. Especially you guys were talking about your vacation. It was fun to hear, you know, you talk about it and her talk about her perspective and kind of how you both are responding to each other. It was great. I loved it.
Before we get too much further, because this is going to be a two-parter this time, unlike that other time when I lied about it being a two-parter, this time it really is, we should explain the show because I'm not explaining it next time. So here's how this works. We have a hat. It's magical. And then it has an email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks, not enough folks. More people should. It's getting low. Write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards. With the information written on them that manifests physically within the hat itself. We, its Equisapien servants, that is an inside joke for just a few people out there, draw the cards at random out of the hat, read them on the air, talk about them until we're bored, do that for about an hour. That is the show. Except for the parts that aren't, which is most of it.
Equisapien?
Yes.
Like a sentient horse? Is that
yeah.
what that is?
Yeah. And I'm not going to tell what it's a joke from, because it would be a big spoiler to the thing that it's from. So if you know where it's from, congratulations. And if you don't, suffer, I guess.
Okay.
So, too bad for you.
I can live with that.
So, holy crap, when's the last time we actually...
Well, let's see, we did a mystery episode.
Yeah, no, I was in Disney.
And then you and Trish. And so,
it's been 3 weeks?
3 weeks, I guess.
It feels longer. I don't know, because also several apocalypses have happened.
Oh, really?
Since then, yeah. We left just before the snow apocalypse happened.
Oh, yeah.
That whole week. Mm-hmm. And then we came back just in time for the freezing apocalypse.
It was pretty bad.
Temperatures that I'm not sure I've ever been in before.
Last week was, I mean, there were two accidents. I mean, one accident we could see from our house, and that's one of the reasons I didn't come.
Well, everything closed the day before.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty bad.
I went outside to start the car. Did I talk about this last week?
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, and pushing the button instead of turning the key.
Yes. What else, though?
Yeah. It's weird. Turning the key feels like you're doing something. I know there's no actual difference. But pushing the button and having it not start.
Yeah, right.
I just had to keep doing that. It was really freaky. This week has been pretty shitty also, though, and you almost didn't make it tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people not at work today, working from home and stuff.
My wife worked from home.
We probably would have if we'd thought to bring home our computers.
The interstate's not bad. Most of the roads off the interstate aren't great, but I mean, they're going to be fine.
The roads this
I'm
morning
not too worried about it.
Weren't bad. The sidewalks were horrible. And finally, all the precipitation stopped. By like 2 o'clock, it was still going on.
Right.
But my concern about you getting here tonight is it's gotten super windy.
Yeah.
And the temperature is dropping. So I'm like, so everything's freezing over again.
Yeah, well, like I say, the interstate's not so bad. Now,
tonight's low is like -2 or something.
My sidewalk and my driveway are terrible.
Yeah, so are mine, you just discovered.
You can't shovel it. You could scrape it maybe, but I'm not going to sit out there in the cold and scrape for 2 hours. I put salt on it, didn't do anything.
If the temperature is too low enough, it's not going to, yeah.
Didn't do anything. So I don't know. It just has to stay that way, I guess, until it the sun
until
melts it or something.
Over.
I don't know. So that's, yeah, it's not good. But, you know, it's Iowa, so. That's the way it goes.
So, how have your 3 weeks been?
Well, man, it seems like a lot has gone on. The only thing I can think of is there's this series streaming on Netflix from Korea.
Mm-hmm.
It's dubbed. I don't know if that's a...
What's it called?
The Kingdom?
Yes, I've heard about this.
And we watched it, and it's a zombie thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not giving anything away by saying that. But it's pretty well done. I mean, my wife loves zombie things, as we've said. I like watching them with her. And I've gotten to the point where, even though I'm not really so much into zombie stuff, I can recognize when something is good zombie stuff.
Yeah. You get experienced enough. You have a sense of the quality, if it's not necessarily
your thing, right?
Yeah.
So I'm watching this and I'm thinking, this seems like pretty good quality zombie stuff. And like 2 episodes later, she said, this is really good zombie stuff. I said, yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking that too.
Asians are just, not Asians. Asian cinema is just starting to sort of get into the zombie genre. And they seem to be knocking it out of the park. Train to Busan was a huge hit, and it's essentially the same kind of thing. Kingdom is a really big deal. And I hate zombie stuff in general. I find it boring.
Well, this
but
is
they're really getting good with it.
This takes place in Korea, I'm going to say in the 18th century. There's certain historical indicators, like one of the characters has a flintlock rifle type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it can't be... they mentioned a dynasty that was like between, I don't know, the 15th and the 19th or something centuries. But the presence of that rifle makes me think probably late 18th century. But it has all of the trappings that we would normally associate with feudal, like swords and armor and stuff. And if you're used to watching anything from that period that's like Chinese or Japanese or anything else, you recognize a lot of things Korea borrowed a lot of things from China. In fact, during that this period, and I didn't even know this till I watched this, but Confucian philosophy was a big thing, and Confucian scholars were very important.
And there's a lot of. There was a period of time when Japan controlled Korea, and honestly, if you go back far enough, and the Japanese don't like to talk about it, Japanese people essentially came from Korea originally,
right?
And
so,
all of that kind of shit. So,
so it's set in that period.
There's a lot of that tie in there.
It's set in that period, which is interesting. But also, the plot is driven by cultural things, how they are culturally responding to the epidemic, so to speak. Mm. So it's different than what you might see in any other context when you're watching a zombie epidemic. This is like the question is, how would a zombie epidemic manifest? How would it spread? What would be the implications if it happened in this place at this time? So it's picking out those particular cultural things that would interact with it in an interesting way. And so it's very interesting. I mean, especially if you have any interest in broadening your cultural perspective, and you want to learn a little bit more about what Korean culture is like, or what the historical bases are, I think you'll find it very interesting. And the performances are really good, and the actual effects that they use, for the monster part of the story are good. So I encourage people to watch it. If you're not into zombie stuff, you might still like it for other reasons. If you really, really hate zombie stuff, well, you probably won't like it. But we liked it.
Trish and I may hit it up. We just finished what we were watching, mostly.
Well, that's. I'm sure there are other things we've watched in the last 3 weeks. I mean, my wife's still playing Red Dead Redemption and still liking it. But, let's see. I think we've watched Kimmy Schmidt since.
Oh, yeah.
And that's their final.
The Unbreakable.
Yeah, their final season. I always
wanted to be interested in that.
Well, the funny thing is we watched it, and then we didn't really have anything else immediately to watch that was short. Like, we wanted to watch short things. So I said, let's watch the first couple episodes of the first season of Kimmy, because it'd been so long ago.
Because
I think there was like a year even between a couple of their seasons. And, it was just as good, we thought, the second time we were watching it. Oh, there was another thing we saw.
Has a ton of people in it I like.
Well, it's very well written, and the thing is, the person who plays Kimmy, I mean, she's
one of the people I really like.
Yeah, but she's not the only person who's great.
No.
Like, everyone's great.
And it's got Jane Krakowski, and I forget who else. It's got a bunch of people I didn't know were in it.
Oh, yeah, it's really good. But there was another thing I was going to talk about. We rented The Addams Family from Netflix, the discs, because...
The original show or the...
Yeah, the original show. Because I was reading about Victorian houses, because I like them. I like Queen Anne. I like Gothic Revival. I like Romanesque. I like all that stuff. And I was just reading an article about them, and it started talking about how, they're... A lot of times, Victorian houses are the quintessential haunted houses.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how that came about. And it never really occurred to me to think, well, yeah, there must have been a time where that wasn't true, right? Like, someone had to come up with that. And they said was that in the early 20th century, people started to think that the Victorian styles were vulgar and ostentatious, which is funny because, some of the houses in Victorian houses are Gothic Revival. But the term Gothic was originally ascribed to architecture in Europe, right? Churches and cathedrals. And the label Gothic was supposed to be an insult. Gothic was equivalent to like barbaric. Mm. You know, like this is vulgar. This is whatever. So in a way, the early 20th century response to these houses was the exact same response that people were having to original Gothic architecture. But then...
That is funny.
I thought it was interesting. Shut up. But anyway, I'm getting to the point. So anyhow.
I don't believe you.
Then they said the haunted house thing really got a boost. Well, they also say that people started not buying them and moving out of them, and the value went down. So a lot of them started to fall apart, and they started to look scarier, even, right? So there was that. But then the real boost came when Psycho, the Psycho House, is a Victorian house, and the Addams Family.
Yeah.
And so that got me thinking about the general, you know, goth aesthetic in subculture that, you know, you and I are both familiar with, because that was something that was a thing when we were growing up, and it's still a thing now.
We didn't have emo back in, we just had goth.
But I started thinking about that, and how, when did that really start? I mean, you know, how did that get going? And the more I researched it, the more people would point to the Addams Family and the Munsters, but as being a sort of a source for that aesthetic, because those things were in the late '60s. And then you didn't really get the aesthetic being contributed to by music like Ozzy Osbourne and stuff like that until the '70s.
Yeah.
And so that got me thinking about the Addams Family. And I really liked watching it when I was a kid. And so I just got all that, seeing the Addams Family come up over and over in these things. I thought, I'm going to get it and see if it holds up or whatever. All right.
And?
Well, it doesn't.
Okay.
But, but I still think it's hilarious because there's the nostalgia issue. And a lot of the humor is like, you know, dad humor, which, as we established, I like.
Is 50s and 60s sitcom humor is what it gets down to. Mm-hmm. That's the thing, is essentially Addams Family is still, you know, My Three Dads, or not My Three Dads, My Three Sons, all that shit. Sorry, My Two Dads is later. But it's Donna Reed, all that same humor,
yeah,
just with this creepy cover on it, because it's the same silly jokes and puns, and the situations are the same. They're just twisted slightly because our son's a werewolf and things like that.
I do like it, though, and Morticia Addams is awesome.
Oh yeah,
like as a character, and she's played so well.
Gomez, John Astin, that's him at his peak. Like,
amazing.
I love John Astin in pretty much everything he ever did, but that one, that's the one where they're just like, go for it. That is like his id just on screen.
Some of the stuff they do in it, I'm thinking, this is really, like, some of it's really racy. Racier than I remember, obviously, because I was a kid. But some of it's very, some of the performances seem very subtle and very, you know, like, the it's a very dark comedy sometimes that I'm not sure the laugh track really helps you get.
And that's, because there's versions where there's like, people remember it as sort of the implication, like, it's implied that all, but then it's like, no, there's stuff where, well, and that's why I find Christina Connell so funny, too, because it's pretty straightforward that they're doing horrible shit. Like, it's not like, oh, we're pretending to be spooky. It's like, oh, no, we literally murdered that person and buried them in the backyard. But we're adorable. Like,
yeah, it's kind of like that. It's kind of like that. But Jazz mentioned to me that when she was growing up...
she was Wednesday Addams?
Probably was. The romance between Gomez and Morticia was novel, you know, to see on television.
Yeah.
Which, and as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, I mean, back then... Couples, first of all, they slept in twin beds,
Yeah.
And, but to actually be speaking so amorously to one another and kissing and grabbing
just
and
passionate
and saying,
innuendo and ridiculously passionate, like silly passionate, but
Gomez, and one we just watched, Gomez says something like, they were just talking about newlyweds. And by the way, every time they talked about these newlyweds, there was all kinds of allusions to, oh, they're going to be doing, you know, whatever, you know, but then she spoke French or something, which drives him crazy.
Yes. She frequently just does stuff that drives him crazy enough that in an amorous fit, he needs to bite some part of her.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty heavy duty.
But then he says something like, now it's our turn. We're going to be missing for 3 days or whatever.
Nah.
It's that's pretty, I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's right out there, you know?
They're going to bang.
It's like, wow. But I don't know. I like it. I like watching it. I'm not sure my wife is getting into it as much as I am, because I don't know if she enjoyed it as much when she was a kid. But they only have one season on Netflix. Huh. So when we're done with the season,
but how much did they have? Because a lot of those shows,
I think just
you
two.
Think there was a ton, and like I'll never forget the day I found out there are only 30 episodes of Buck Rogers.
Oh yeah, you're right.
And I was like, seriously? I feel like I watched that show for years, and apparently I did, just in syndication over and over again.
Something else I didn't...
It's basically a season and a half.
Something else I didn't know about the Addams Family was they didn't have names or anything. I mean, Charles Addams created them in like 1938.
Oh, yeah.
And so they'd been around for a long time before the TV show, but he never gave them names or any kind of backstory. So all of the names and lore and actually the definition of their relationships, I mean, other than Gomez and Morticia being the two adult male... you could tell they're married or whatever.
Yeah.
But in the show, they actually establish, okay, they're married. This is their kids. This is his uncle, whatever.
No, it's a sitcom. All that, you need a situation.
Yeah, all that stuff was created for the show, which I thought, well, that was interesting. I didn't know that. So anyway, I've been...
So, I mean, the producers thought Wednesday Addams was secretly Odin?
No. But yeah, you know, everything in this show is fun, as far as I'm concerned. But like, it's not something I'd say, hey, rent this because you're going to think it's hilarious. Mm. It's more of a, I remember when I was growing up, thinking it was very cool. And Morticia Addams is very cool. She's a very progressive female character in a way. I mean, it's in some ways not, obviously, but you know,
she has a tremendous amount of agency.
Yeah,
and,
And
it's
and authority even.
In general, the Addams Family is blind to modern mainstream social cues.
Yeah, right, right.
And that works in her favor in a lot of instances where they are sexually repressive.
Right, right, right.
Or anti-feminist, and she is ignorant of them and therefore goes forward.
but there's no sense in which, you know, Gomez is like the head or the boss of the house or anything like that. They're totally equals in everything. And I think a lot of sitcoms of that era when they showed the couple interacting, it was kind of like that. There wasn't a lot of...
Well, it's the 60s. The stuff was starting to change.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of the male characters weren't particularly overbearing or anything, but I don't know. I just remember growing up being really impressed with her as a character. And so now when I watch them, it's like, I think, you know, looking back and seeing how certain female characters in particular shaped my perspective on, say, feminism or whatever later, it's kind of fascinating to, because obviously I didn't think about that at the time, right? I just watched these things and enjoyed them. I didn't think about how they were shaping any kind of political perspective that I'd have later. But it definitely did, and it's been kind of fun and interesting, and I've really enjoyed watching. I wish they didn't have just the first season. I think there's two seasons, maybe three.
Check YouTube. Sometimes that shit's hiding on YouTube.
That's true. That's true. But anyway,
well, we should talk about Maniac because you weren't here to talk about it when we finished it.
Oh, and I watched it.
You had watched it a while ago.
And you finished it.
Yeah, we finished it.
So, I mean, what's your overall?
I was pleased. I liked it. I recommend it. I feel like it reminds me of other shows that I think are better, like a lot of the Noah Hawley stuff.
Like Legion, maybe.
Legion, yeah. And yeah, all that.
Agreed.
But I've been thinking about it, and I'm like, it also might be more entertaining than those, though.
Mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
Legion's a great show. It's also work.
Oh, real work. I mean, you really have to pay attention.
And there's a lot of subtle clues and things in Maniac. But it does. It's fun. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
And at first I was like, yeah, it's great, whatever, we move on. And then no, for a few days afterward, Trish and I were having some pretty involved conversations about like, what do you think this means? And this is symbolic of this. And
now, I wasn't as impressed with, what's his name?
Jonah Hill.
Yeah, I wasn't as impressed. It seemed like he was trying to achieve something that it didn't feel like to me he quite achieved. But I didn't think it ruined the overall thing at all.
It's possible. It's just that I have a set view of him. And he's been trying... he's been doing more dramatic stuff. I haven't seen any of it.
Okay.
So I just know him as annoying. And he did really well in this.
Yeah. I mean, I give
and,
it
and
up
on the other hand,
much.
Emma Stone knocked it out of the
park. Yeah, really great, really great.
She always does. So it wasn't super noticeable. Like, she did great, but I'm like, of course she did.
Yeah,
she's Emma Stone.
Yeah.
And again, Hank Azaria did fine. I could have done that part. There wasn't much to it, so I'm not really sure why Hank Azaria showed up for that. But
it was an interesting.
Justin Theroux did great. I was really fascinated by the woman who played the other doctor who was smoking all the time,
Izumi. Yeah.
And I looked her up, and I've seen her in quite a few things.
Oh, yeah, I have too, but I couldn't tell you
what her name is. But not in particularly big parts.
Oh.
Because she was like the only actually human female character in Ex Machina.
Oh.
Kyoko, or whatever her name is. And a few other places like that. And I'm like, yeah, she didn't get much chance. And I also found that character really compelling. Like, I feel like there's so much more to that character, and I really want to know about it.
Yeah, agreed.
Like, Justin Theroux's character, I'm like, no, I've had enough. He's fine. And then the big name that I don't like to talk about, because I feel it's a little spoilery or whatever, also was amazing in it.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
And I love that it's self-contained. I would hate to have another, like, season of it or whatever.
Because
actually, I have a lot of issues with how the last episode went. And they're not issues with it as a TV show. They're issues with the characters. Such that I'm like, I don't want to see how that shit pans out. Because I don't think it was very wise. Yeah. And I don't think it was well done. But it's the characters. So I'm like, nope, this is what they're doing.
Are you interested at all in watching a series of unfortunate events on Netflix?
No, never.
Why?
Because I find the whole thing really morbid. Because...
Well, it is.
I looked up the books when I realized I was never going to read them, and they're just depressing. Like, they're not... I know they're... They're a clever adventure and shit, but I'm like, no, it's just watch as these fun kids go through a world where everyone is just the worst all the time and everything is shit. And somehow they evade it themselves, which is great. It's still a world where everything is awful.
Yeah.
And I wasn't interested in the books of that, and I'm not interested in the TV show then.
Well, we watched the whole thing and it ended.
People really liked it, and I don't blame them for liking it.
We liked it quite a bit.
To me,
good.
It's baby Breaking Bad. Like, I'm not... I'm sure it's well done. It would just make me sad, and I don't...
It didn't make us sad, but...
Breaking Bad didn't make a lot of people sad. In fact, I've had people try to argue with me that Breaking Bad is not a particularly dark series.
What?
And I'm like, fuck off. I haven't even watched it, and I know you're wrong.
Well, wait,
and I would bet you $1 billion you're wrong.
How are you doing with Orphan Black, then? Still, are you...
It's a trudge right now.
Is it? Yeah.
Part of it is I'm not getting to the gym because of the fucking weather.
Oh, sure, right.
So I'm not going through it really fast, but I am dead in the middle of season 3, which is the first, maybe I'm hoping the last, caster season. And Jesus Christ, is that a slog. I'm like, oh. This is because that's the thing. There are lots of people in that show that I like, and there's moral relativity all over the place. But there's a lot of people that I'm like, I like, even when they make poor decisions. Right now, we're in a place where I'm like, oh, there's a lot of people that I'm just like, I hope they die in a fire. And it also won't sit still. And I understand that's how you make a show. That's how you make any narrative exciting. It's the Chandler. Raymond Chandler thing of when you don't know where a scene's going, somebody walks in with a gun thing. Like, you're constantly, somebody's being kidnapped, somebody's being betrayed, because then you want to know what happens next. And I'm like, yeah, calm your tits for just an episode or two. Just let me have some fun with these characters that you've made that I enjoy. I can't keep track of who's locked up where and if they're going to escape. Like, I'm getting tired. Like,
yeah, well.
The fact that we have a whole... light-hearted drug-dealing subplot is the ray of sunshine in this right now. I got to see Donnie Allison do their little underwear drug money dance.
Oh, yeah.
Just recently.
Right.
That was the highlight of the last, like, 4 episodes. Meanwhile, Gracie's got strange illness and so many caster boys, and I don't even know who's locked up where, and I'm mad at Mrs. S, and I don't like being mad at Mrs. S, and Felix is possibly the best character in the show, and he's doing almost nothing right now.
Right.
And I'm still not over the Cosima Delphine thing, and I don't know if I, like, oh, that's just bad, and we got the mystery, and of course I don't trust her, because any new character that shows up, I don't trust. Also, I finally made somebody ask, and I made somebody tell me, and I found out Tony's never coming back, and I'm really pissed about that. Because Tony was awesome. And yeah, no, it's a lot on me. It's rough. I'm dealing with a lot of issues right now.
Really, that's that kind of show, really.
And I love Helena, and I don't feel like it's okay to love Helena. Helena's done some terrible shit.
Well, I know, but
I know she's a victim of circumstance, but I'm like, especially right now, she's pissing me off. But and I do love the Scorpion, Pupok the Scorpion. This is the best thing ever. Love that. Love Pupok the Scorpion.
We like mangoes.
Like, I have a friend who has a shirt of Pupog, so I enjoy that.
This is fun. Watching you talk about a show that I've already seen.
Yes, and to other people, it's fun like that, too. And to other people, I am spouting the most gibberish ever. They're like, I have no idea what the fuck he's talking about.
Well, full disclosure,
Full disclosure, there's probably some spoilers in the last 5 minutes I've said, but it's so out of context.
No,
good
yeah,
luck
right.
finding it.
I can't say I was, by the end of it, all that impressed with it as a whole. I was always impressed with Tatiana. Always.
Because it's insane.
I mean, it was...
It's insane.
Every single season, even the worst season, or the worst episode is worth seeing just to watch her do her thing. It's amazing.
My brain ignores it most of the time.
She's
my
amazing.
Brain can't do it. It's a cast of a bunch of people who just look the same in my head. Like, it's not possible.
Yeah.
And honestly, I got to give the guy credit who does Mark and Rudy and all those.
Oh,
two,
sure,
the same
sure,
thing.
Sure, sure.
But no,
sure.
She's there's the difference is there's such distinction in those characters. And like, I had one the other day just coming out of some Sarah Helena stuff, and then we went to some Cosima stuff, and my brain suddenly was like, wait. This is such a completely different character. How is this even possible?
and then they'll have him in the same room up. Sometimes.
Yeah, like, they've done some amazing shit with that.
Yep,
the
yep.
dancing scene at the end of series two is...
Pretty good.
Is
pretty good.
Crazy.
So,
and I've had, like, there are times when I can tell, oh, look, you can't see that one's face or whatever, so they can do it. That's somebody in the wig or whatever. But there's other times I'm like, I don't know how they're doing this. Like, right there, that shouldn't be possible.
The series felt to me like they started out with a... fairly intriguing premise that could really keep you hooked for the first season, maybe the second, and then they sort of ran out of ideas for the rest.
Yeah.
And it really sort of clung on the investment that people had on the characters by then, and also people loving to watch Tatiana do her thing.
I've seen this in BBC shows before.
Yeah.
Being Human had this thing. Primeval had this whole thing. That's the thing. After a couple seasons, they run out of story, and often... cast members want to leave, and so then they just it's always like, oh, you beat the bad guy, but there's a bigger bad
yeah.
guy. Oh, you beat that one, did well, you know there's a bigger one?
And you start to spot the formula where this is going to happen, then they're going to have a scene where they're going to talk about what's happening, so you get this
yes.
exposition instead of things happening, and then they all split up and things happen again. It's like, man,
yeah.
this is just
and
the same thing over
and
over.
And I'm really starting to see, like, well, like I've said before, I don't believe season three Paul, that they knew what he was going to be for season three when he was in season one. It doesn't
yeah, well,
work.
No, I guess I didn't either now that I think about it.
I'm like, that was not... the guy and the choices he made and the actions he was doing there
yeah.
was not the guy
yeah,
that
yeah,
we
yeah,
know
right,
now.
Right, right,
like,
right,
that's
right.
a lie.
But if you've enjoyed it up to now, and you're okay with...
I mean, I'm committed. I'm over. I'm past the halfway point by
I think
like
you'll
one
be,
episode.
I think you'll be glad you watched the whole thing.
Yeah, and the fact that I know it's self-contained in a real
yes.
sense.
Yes,
like,
yes,
they
yes.
wrap shit up and things.
Yeah,
like,
more or less they do, yeah.
I'm cool with that. But also got to talk about... Oh, two of the, Jesus Christ. Well, maybe I'll save some of this for next week. Yeah, I'll save some for next week. But... Actually, no, let's save all of it for next week because we got like 15 minutes,
oh,
so like,
okay.
let's draw a thing out of that. But I have two other pieces of media I got to talk about.
Oh,
next
okay,
week,
good.
Because so.
I don't think I have anything else to talk about unless I. It comes to me somehow.
Addie's very excited for some reason. What you got?
Beth wants to know.
Beth, what does Beth want to know? Beth had a baby. Did we know Beth was having a baby?
Well, I didn't know. So
I don't think I knew either.
Okay, well, I guess we didn't know.
Beth, why didn't you tell us you were having a baby? You told us when you were getting married. And that's way less of a big deal.
Way less of a big deal.
What does Beth have to say?
Okay. Hostess gifts. Wait, is this gifts for the hostess or gifts from... Well,
no, I think it's like Twinkies and stuff.
No, I don't think so.
You hostess, give ring-dings to people?
Nope. And... hostess gifts. Polite, time-honored tradition, or unnecessary exchange of stuff. Maybe I don't know what a hostess gift is.
All right, I think it's just being sexist about it. I think it's talking about a gift you bring when you are invited over to someone's home.
Oh, when you're going over to someone's home.
Yes. Like
to give to the hostess.
Yes. Or the host. I'd say hosting gift is probably a better way to go.
Okay.
The traditional one is you are invited over to a dinner or a party and you bring a bottle of wine. That is the classic.
But it's unnecessary exchange of stuff. Exchange. This is a one-way thing you're talking about.
Yeah, but then you invite them over later and they have to bring you stuff. I don't know. That's what I'm assuming. If you want to come up with another thing.
I don't know anything. We've established that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, but, I mean, you're bringing something that you might open and use, so.
Potentially, not necessarily.
Well, give me an example of something that.
You could just bring some shit, like, I wanted to thank you for having, here's a thing.
Oh, here's a thing. Yeah. Like any old thing.
Yeah. This is a thank you for having us over.
Oh.
I haven't done that before.
I don't think I have ever brought anything when someone's invited me over, unless it was food I was supposed to bring.
Yeah.
Because I'm an idiot.
No, it's an old, outdated social tradition. I mean, I feel like this covers ground. I have a very strong feeling about gifts. Full stop. Regardless
all
of
circumstances.
Hosting gifts, Christmas gifts, birthday gifts, all that. And I've discussed it at length. Gifts should be something you wish to give to a person because you think it would be cool for them to have, or because it's something you want to share with them, or something you want to gift to them.
You're saying it should be a spontaneous thing.
Not necessarily spontaneous, but it should be... It should come from an active desire to give a gift.
Okay.
And not any sense of obligation of needing to give a gift. However, I am aware of the world that we live in. And in the world we live in, there are friends and family, mostly family, that in many cases aren't going to be cool with, say, Christmas coming around and you being like, you know... I just didn't find anything that I really felt like giving you guys, so wait till the next time I find something that I'm inspired by or something like that. And I know that people feel an obligation, like, oh, I gotta get gifts for my nephew and my niece and all that. It happens. And that's a social issue, and it's there. So, in that realm, you give whatever gifts you need to give. So, if you're invited to somebody's house and you feel... that they're the sort of people that this is expected, or that it would be weird if you didn't, then you give them a gift. If not, then you don't have to give them a gift. But if you'd like to, I love giving gifts.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
But I hate having to give gifts.
Like it being someone's telling you to do it. You're not just
or
doing
even
it.
Just at Christmas. Like, Christmas shopping annoys me. But saying, like, finding something I want to give to somebody, or even being like, I want to give that person something cool. What is it? That to me is fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But saying, well, I need to give them something. What will it be? I hate almost as much as I love the other. Because to me, that's not a gift. I don't know what that is.
Well, I haven't done Christmas shopping forever because our family hasn't done that. But
yeah.
When I used to do it, I loved it. But
there were times, there were years where I was just charmed somehow and I found the great gifts. And when I do that even now, I'm like, oh, okay, we got to do Christmas shopping. But then if I find something, I'm like, they are going to love that. Then I'm excited for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Right, right, right.
But then there's also ones that I'm like, well, this is the kind of thing they want. It doesn't mean anything to me. They'll like it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, fine. I mean, I don't begrudge it, but I'm like, I don't care.
I don't know. I mean, the thing about questions like this is, as a rule, I think most people feel like, well, if I don't know what the host or hostess expects, certainly if they don't expect a gift, they won't be offended by getting one.
Absolutely.
But if they do expect a gift, they'll probably be offended by not getting one.
Yes.
So the safe bet is to get something.
Yes. And if you don't know something, I feel like in general, though, the stakes are low. So
that's true.
If it's really bugging you, just don't do it.
Yeah.
I would always defer on that side. And I do stuff for my friends now. Like when we go to gaming sometimes, if I'm picking up supper like a heavy or something and I see something like some candy or snack thing I think they'll like, I'll bring it for them and stuff.
Sure.
But like it's not expected. Nobody complains if it's not there.
Right.
That kind of thing. I just like doing it, so. All right, give me another one. Or give me a hat. Draw another one. That's what I mean.
Is it odd for human cultures to come up with things that oblige people to give gifts?
I don't think so at all. I think it's a bedrock to society. Reciprocity is at the heart of a lot of...
Sure. But that's like in day-to-day life. To set aside a particular time where... I mean, gift economies actually are a big part of most societies before, you know, empires come along. But why then do you need a special time of year where you're doing what you do all the time anyway? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. and I mean, there are a lot of arguments about that. There are some economic arguments that it helps the economy. There are some economic arguments that it very much does not help the economy. Kind of depends on which model you're using. Go figure. I don't know. I suspect some of it's just holdover from an earlier situation where you formalized those behaviors. Because, I mean, they came first. So it's tradition. I mean, and it absolutely is. Nobody later was like, we need to do this Christmas gift thing.
Yeah.
It was a tradition we haven't gotten rid of. It's vestigial.
Sure, yeah.
And it's morphed into its own thing now.
Yeah.
You know? And I think it's smaller than with... Like, this question that Beth is having, I'm assuming Beth is in situations where this comes up.
Yeah.
You and I are not.
No.
Like, I absolutely get invited to things and I'll bring some shit or gift or whatever. I never think that it's part of the process that I'm obligated to do or anything like that.
Yeah.
Unless, like, it's a potluck
or something like that. Yeah, right.
But there are definitely, and again, I can't speak for Beth, but I definitely know there are places in this country where if you get invited, that is absolutely expected.
Yeah.
and the same thing, like, there are definitely places... And parts of society nowadays where how much you care about your kid is absolutely measured in how much you spend on your kid and things like that. And there are people tied into formalized gift giving. It's ripe for a sense of entitlement. And that's what I hate. I don't like feeling like I am judged on a gift I choose to give you.
Yeah, right.
And if it is... a spontaneous gift, that is way less likely to happen. If it is, this is the time I give you a gift, you've been expecting a gift, you maybe have been hoping for things, you maybe have been hinting or outright telling me things, and this is going to be judged based on that.
Yeah.
And it gets into this weird world of, I don't know what the fuck to give you, so I give you something really dumb, which you don't care for, and so that sucks. But it would have been weird if I didn't give you anything because we're exchanging gifts.
Right.
Or, fuck it, cash, or nowadays, gift card.
Yeah, right.
And not that you dislike that, but, like, that feels like the most hollow version. It's like, oh, thank goodness, I didn't have $30 to specifically spend at Chili's. How did you know?
Well... I mean, you know.
So, I mean, and they're there. And again, I think it's part, it's woven into society. And without a bloody revolution, we're not going to get rid of it. So, you live with
and
it.
And who wants that?
But you do what you feel like you need to, and then don't worry about it. And outside of that, gifts should be what you want them to be. And sometimes families make big claims and they're like, you know what? This is dumb. Let's stop doing it.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's fine. And sometimes that freaks people out. And sometimes people suggest things like that, and it fucks everything up, causes this huge family drama, and so, I mean, these are minefields you have to gauge on your own, and my side of the family is very big on telling us all the time how we don't have to send them anything. Mm. And I'm pretty sure they would be fine if we didn't. We like doing it.
Sure.
So we do
sure.
it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But yeah, it is true. I mean, I as to whether or not it's unnecessary, Beth, that's a matter for who the hostess is.
Yeah, yeah.
And how you feel about it. I find it sad that this is a question that has to be asked, but I think it does in a lot of cases. And it's to the point that it's like, it's a joke, like in a sitcom. I saw an episode of Parks and Rec like this recently, but I've seen Simpsons and other things like this all the time, where somebody brings like a bottle of wine or something, and then at the end of the party, they're like, okay, nobody drank this, so I'm taking it back. And that's the thing, and it's the joke. And then you're kind of like, well, but if they brought it for the party, like, that seems legit. But on the other hand, if it was a gift, that's just weird. Like that, on the one hand, it's funny because it's rude. But on the other hand, it's not necessarily incorrect.
Makes a weird kind of sense.
Like, yeah. And it depends on what your purpose was originally. And I mean, it's fucking insane, because whatever gift you're bringing for that situation should not be worth enough that you're worried about losing it.
I mean, I think we've established that I'm completely ignorant on a lot of social customs, and
yeah, you're like the Addams Family.
And sometimes I'm baffled, actually, or just puzzled completely by, well, okay, like in what you're saying. So there's a rule that you have to bring something over, like a wine. But then there's a rule that if you bring a wine, you have to serve it, because this person probably would like to have some of that wine. But then there's a rule that if you don't serve, I mean, you know, it's there's not just one rule. There's like a chain of rules that are contingent on the rule ahead of it. And I don't even
and
get
then,
it.
Well, and then you get factored in, what if the host or hostess doesn't drink? But then you're still a party. Are other people drinking?
Yeah,
and so
yeah,
that's
right.
Fine. And nobody chose this. Like, nobody, this is a rule. No person made that rule.
Well, that's right. And
I know, like, you got it because your parents taught you to do that or whatever. But it's not like if you go up to your great-great-great-grandfather, he was the one who said, you know what, at parties, this is what we have to do. It came out organically.
This
society, we as a people picked it, but no person picked it.
Right. So this is another thing that confuses me. Like, I'll see these columns or books about etiquette or whatever, and all I can think of is, this person's just making this up, basically. Well, I mean, it's based on some historical precedent,
well,
I suppose.
I think there's a percentage. I think sometimes they throw in things. But yeah, a lot of it is historical precedent that just happened generations ago, and we're all still doing it because we think we have to.
Well, but there's also an argument that there's some value to it. Like, if we all do these things, we're affirming some social contract that we all have. But we could do
potentially.
But we could do different things, and that would also be affirming a social
yes.
contract. It doesn't have to be,
and
these
that's the thing.
Things.
A tradition does not have value solely because it is a tradition.
Yeah, right.
There are shitty
right.
traditions.
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, I was just talking with somebody else recently about what their Christmas mornings were like growing up, and it involved codified traditions, like you have to do this and then we do this and stuff, but it also involved shit that just happened every year that wasn't the plan, where like one involved like, and then one person would say, hey, we should do this, and then the other person would get the things to do that, and inevitably the other person would have trouble making those things work, and so everybody would sit around while that happened, and it happened like this every year, and that's tradition.
Bob, do the thing.
And it
was, do I have to do it this year? Bob, do it. You always have to drop your pie on the floor. And we all
like
roll our eyes and say, Bob, come on.
But that's
Christmas.
The thing. Nobody said it, but it's just part of it. And the thing is, at the time, it was normal and maybe even a little bit enjoyable because that's what Christmas was, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But on the other hand, you look back and you're like, no, that was stupid. it wasn't worth it in the end. And like, why would we do that?
People feel like you're betraying the tribe by not going through these rituals. And I mean, that's, I suppose that is because, you know, in our culture, we've replaced a lot of ordinary natural tribal things with artificial tribal things, which don't work as well.
Like World of Warcraft.
Well, or like lots of things. And they
just World of
Warcraft. They just don't work as well as those organic things that come from organic tribal associations. But we have them anyway, and then we really insist on it. Oh, no, it's got to be like this.
And there can be value in those, but you can't deal in extremes. Like, you got to decide, does it work for your friends? Does it work for your family?
Right.
Why are you doing it? Is that something you want to do?
There's got to be a practical
dimension
going on.
Did it have value for the last 10 years, but now, due to various circumstance change, it sucks and you should stop?
That's exactly right. That's what I'm talking about with organic things happening organically. Yeah. If it works...
And just evaluate things. Don't take anything on as written.
If the thing works, it'll keep going until it doesn't work. And then it'll be replaced by something else.
And that...
You don't have to make it happen.
Traditions, communities are also a thing like this. People have community groups. And I'm like, they don't... Everybody thinks they're organic and everybody's going to help out a little and it's going to maintain. No, it's always one or two people who are committed to, this is when we meet, this is our projects and things like that. And either those people keep doing it...
Yep.
Or... It dies.
Yeah, right.
And I know we'd love to have it be the other way, but it doesn't generally happen.
Although there's nothing wrong with it working that way.
As long as the people are happy to do it.
Yeah,
I've
exactly,
been in so many groups where somebody's finally like, I can't, this is too much for
me. Yeah, they're
burnt
out. Yeah,
and they're like, oh, no, that's fine. We'll all take on a share. And then it either dies out or like somebody else takes that burden or they take it back.
Right.
I've known people who have quit groups and a year later, they're like, yeah, we're hosting that thing at our house this weekend. And I'm like, you quit that? It's like, yeah, but they didn't have any other place they could meet or whatever. And I'm like, no, this is not a community thing then. Because if it was, the fact that you left that community would have made some impact.
Yeah, right.
But we are over time and we got to do another one of these. So I'm out here. By the way, I'm pretty sure the title of this episode is just going to be Dig on Bang. Because I got nothing else.
Aww.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.